This is a developer's guide for Windows 10 preview. Welcome, we're gonna talk about what if you have an app that you've already written, one for Windows 8, one for Windows 8.1, and now you're ready to retarget to Windows 10? What's that process look like? Andy's gonna walk us through the whole thing, and let's get started.
Yep, okay, so this is the 10 preview, so the process that we'll get when this actually goes to full RTM release will likely be a bit different. So this is to get you started where you are now if you're a Windows Insider and you're working with this Tech Preview SDK. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to talk about here, first of all, look at kind of where you're starting from. So it, you know, if you've got an 8.0 app or an 8.1 app or the different flavors of phone app you've got, it's a kind of complicated story, but there's different paths that you're going to go on in order to get to the beauty that is Windows 10 UAP. And then we'll go through an actual example. So I'm going to take a Windows Phone 8.1 app and we're going to migrate it to 10. And so you'll see how that works and what the steps are that you need to do.
Perfect. Let's talk about the migration paths to Windows 10 then. There's a lot of different options, and I'd like for you to kind of walk us through what they are, because I think we have a story for everybody.
We do, yeah. So the first one I want to consider, so I'm going to take four different kind of starting points and then just at a very high level talk about what you can expect from the migration. So if you've got a Windows 8.0 or an 8.1 store app, so this is like a XAML-based app written using the WinRT API set, if you want to move that onto Windows 10 UAP, what kind of effort are we looking at? Well, actually the code is, the Windows 10 UAP is a superset of the Windows 8.1 RT API set. So no, you shouldn't have many great problems there. So that's going to be pretty good. And again, great compatibility between your XAML UI and moving that across to 10. So getting it across there is going to be pretty simple. You're then going to want to do some UI work to make sure you've got a great adaptive UI that's going to work well on small screen devices like the phone. But you might already have that if you've developed your app to work in like a snapped view in small window on your, you know, you've probably got all the design work. You've already done all this. So yeah. This one, really not too much trouble.
Beautiful. Now, you already gave us the warning. The tooling may not be there yet,
yeah.
But of course, we're going to be able to do that in a simple way, and you'll walk us through it here, but it might be slightly different.
Sure. There's going to be changes along the road. So the next one I want to look at is if you're a Windows Phone 8.1 store apps. Now, Windows Phone 8.1 is kind of a complicated story. So because you can actually develop apps using our older Silverlight app development technology or using WinRT. So this is like the phone half of an 8.1 universal app, is what we're talking about here. So they're written in WinRT. Now, actually, pretty similar story to the Windows 8.0, 8.1 situation here. Your underlying code is going to be pretty compatible, very compatible.
It's a superset.
UAP is a superset of WinRT 8.1. So, yeah, not too many problems there, so your code's good. Your UX design, well, again, that will go over. It's all the same XAML. It's all going to go over to 10 UAP pretty easily. Again, though, here, you will have designed your UI for a phone form factor. Mm. So if you want to have this running on a desktop, tablet, bigger screens, you've got a bit of UI work there. In actual fact, you could just leave it on phone on 10 UAP. You know, you don't have to have it running right across all the families. But of course, presumably, that's what you're going to want to do, because that's the kind of the big value add of our Windows 10 UAP platform, is getting your apps onto to multiple different devices.
All right, so it starts with, what if I've got Windows 8 as a Windows app, then in Windows 8 as a phone app, but what if I've built a universal app?
Yeah, so that's the next one. So this is, we're going from Windows 8.1 universal to Windows 10 universal. So you'd think it kind of would be just a straight move across. There's actually a little bit more of a complication here, if you like. So again, your code underneath is WinRT 8.1, so no great problems there. So, and you've already done your design work. If you've done a Windows 8.1 universal app, you've got your phone UI and you'll have built your tablet PC UI. So you've got your design work is all done on there. So, but then we need to move all that over into this converged binary, into an adaptive UI that adapts. So you're now creating a single binary package for UAP.
I see. So in Windows 8, I was actually creating two binaries, one targeting phone, one targeting Windows. That's now great. We're creating one binary.
Yeah.
That's why we're building this adaptivity.
So that's right. So you know, we don't know what the tooling is going to be at the end, but there's probably going to be a little bit of moving stuff around. But it's not like you're having to rewrite everything. Absolutely not. You can really use all of those assets you develop. It's kind of just reorganizing things into this combined universal app solution.
Still quite a few apps in the phone store that are Silverlight apps. I think it's worth talking to those developers.
Right. So Windows Phone Silverlight is the technology we've used for developing phone apps from the beginning. And it's still absolutely supported for Windows Phone 8.1 today as an alternative to the WinRT stack. But the problem here is that the Silverlight APIs, they're kind of older .NET based rather than WinRT based. So Windows Phone 8.1 Silverlight apps, certainly the older ones, 7.5, 8.0, you're going to look at a rewrite really of your logic. Mm. And again, the UX, it's all XAML. So at least, you know, the technology hasn't really changed. It's not like you're reskilling your whole technology base. But
hopefully a developer has used good design patterns and been able to abstract some of their logic away into view models and models and things that are outside so that there isn't a rewrite, right? They'll be able to use those probably portable class libraries that they have.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's totally true, Jerry. And so as always, if you've used good design and good design patterns, a nice VVM, you've got thin views and all your logic... And a nice layer of abstraction between the two.
Your migration process will be...
will be much easier.
Much easier.
Yeah. But this one is essentially a rewrite, but you know, you've got a great app. You know how to give a good user experience. So it's still XAML and your favorite programming language. So some work that you're going to need to do, but not a really direct, clean migration path, I'm afraid.
Okay. So I'm going to do the migration. What can I expect?
So, yeah, what can you expect? So, yeah, an 8.1 WinRT app code, as I've said, every time there needs few changes. It's Windows 10 UAP is a superset of Windows 8.1 WinRT.
It doesn't mean nothing is deprecated. There will be a few
methods. There's a few changes, and I'm going to call out a couple of those when we get to the demo. But across the board, it's a very compatible story. So that's good. And your views, if you've written your XAML views for an 8.1 app, WinRT XAML views, they're going to migrate across fairly easily as well. You've got to have some work to do to actually kind of merge them into an adaptive UI. So the kind of way it works on different devices is slightly different. But we're going to have ways of taking those XAML views you've developed for specific targets on 8.1 and plug them as easily as possible into a 10 UAP solution.
Got it.
And there's other things that I'm going to call out in the demo, like phone-specific styles, for example, that have been deprecated. And as we said, the Silverlight apps, you're looking at a re-implementation job.
Okay. All right, well, let's start getting a feel for
let's go and
what
do it.
Do.
Yeah, let's go and do it. So what we're going to do is now take a single-headed Windows 8.1 app, and we're going to move it over to UAP.
Okay.
So what are the changes that we need to make? Well, first of all, if you take an 8.1 app you've currently got, and if you're hoping to go into Visual Studio and right-click on it and say upgrade to UAP, I'm afraid at the moment, with the state the tools are in this tech preview, you won't find that yet.
That's
the
right.
Tools are not there yet. But we've actually written a PowerShell script that does a lot, because it's a lot of, you know, change this attribute to this value and remove this element and replace it with this element. A lot of it is very repetitive stuff. So it was crying out for automation. So we have got an upgrade to UAP utility. And you can go and download it yourself at the URI, aka.msw10p-project-upgrade-utility.
Is that an as-is license?
That is you use this at your own risk license, absolutely, yeah. So we've done this, we've used it, and it's helped us in our work, and we hope it helps you with yours, but if it doesn't work, don't write to me, write to Jerry.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, well, walk us through the script. What does it look like when we use the script?
So you just need to run this PowerShell script. It's actually, what we've got in here is two ways of running it. If you're used to running PowerShell yourself, you can just run the PowerShell script. All you need to do is open a command window, a PowerShell window, and go to the folder where your project file is in your package manifest, so the project you're upgrading, and just execute this PowerShell script, which you can do in two ways. If you're comfortable with PowerShell, you can run the script directly. If you're not used to it, there's just a batch file, a bat file there. You can just execute that.
And we are nothing if we're not user-friendly.
We totally are.
Yes. I mean, it's great. Now, it doesn't just edit the project file.
No, it's also the package.apex manifest. So there's quite a few changes in there. And like I said, most of them boring, repetitive. So we've automated all of that. And you can use this to get a lot of long way down the road.
If we have automated it, surely the tooling team will have no problem doing
it. So the actual changes to the project file and the app manifest, if you really want to know everything that's changed, my advice to you is to do a file new project and create yourself an 8.1 project, and then do a file new project and create yourself a UAP project, and then use your favorite comparison tool to have a look at and do a side-by-side comparison.
That's
funnily enough, what we did in order to develop this tool.
All right, so how do we know it works? Let's look at an updated project.
Right. Yes. So this is the package.apex manifest. So you know. This is the package.apex manifest. And once you've updated your project, you can then straight away open it in Visual Studio.
And look what's new. It doesn't say Windows 8 on the, in the little parentheticals next to it. It says a
Universal App Platform. So it, straight away, you've already got something that will open and will quite likely might even compile. So you know. Probably not. There's going to be a few things you're going to have to fix.
Now, are you going to walk us through what actually happened? Because it seems like a lot of magic. Are you going to talk to us a little bit about
it? No, I'm going to talk you. What I'm going to do is tell you about the things that we can't do. So, you know, there are limits to our engineering capabilities. So there are a few things that I'm leaving you to do. So,
nice.
Yeah. So if you've got, and this is only going to apply to a few cases, but if you have got a package dependency, so your 8.1 project took a dependency on something like the Visual C++ libs here, as an example, which is, you know, if you're accessing a native library, you probably need that. It's changed package dependency. You now need to put the full publisher, full name of the publisher needs to be included in that as the publisher attribute. So that one, can't do that one for you. You have to go and manually edit your project file in order to do that.
Because who knows what package dependency.
Exactly, and if we had endless time and endless engineering resources rather than me and Jerry, then we probably could have covered every one of them, but we'll leave that to you.
We do have ends, as it turns out.
You might also need to change some of the capabilities. So into the package.apex manifest now. So again, a lot of the changes were kind of routine and repetitive, so we've done all of those. But this one, probably if we'd actually done a bit more work, we could have.
Could have pulled together. But this is another one where you could open up a blank project and see the differences really easy. Yeah. Open up a blank project, add all those capabilities, exactly what you need.
That's right. Now, some of these capabilities, it changes over because the capability, the utility, the APIs to access like the pictures library, these named areas, pictures library, videos library, they now need to be prefixed with UAP colon because that's where the APIs sit. And likewise, you can see there an example of the some of these extensions. Mm-hmm. So if you are supporting a protocol extension or a file extension or these kind of things, then again, you need to go in and edit those, Well, maybe we could have done that sort of thing.
Also, because we're converging now and our tiles are going to be the same. So it used to be that Windows Phone and Windows had different tile sizes. Now that we have a single binary, of course, we had to bring those together. That's the next edit.
So essentially what we've done with Windows 10 UAP is the tile assets have converged on the Windows Phone 8.1 model. So if you do a file new project for a Windows Phone 8.1 app, you get certain stock tile sizes, the 44x44, the 310x310, which is common to both, 71x71. And there were slight differences. So if you are upgrading a Windows 8.1 or a Windows 8.0 store app, then you need to go into your package.apex manifest and change those attributes to the new ones, the square 44x44 and square 71x71.
So if I don't have a package dependency or I don't have special tiles, and if I don't have a lot of capability, it's possible that just your utility is sufficient.
It certainly, and it has been. Yeah, it has been. So for quite a few of the demos I've been doing, I've actually been taking stuff from we've done previously, run the utility, and it just goes straight through. So it will work in a lot of cases.
Let's look at the utility and see how it would actually play out.
Okay, so this is the first part of a two-part demo.
Okay.
So let's get into this. Okay, so there we are. We got our Windows Phone 8.1. It's an old favorite, the Contoso cookbook. So I'm just going to run this one up so you can just see. It's not a real Hello World. I've gone for something a little more complex.
It's a delicious app.
It is. It's Pivot, and you see it's very rich, got lots of nice artwork, and it's beautiful. There you go, and you can select a particular recipe, like these are macaroons, and you go and look at the the ingredients. It's also, it's all the stuff. And it's also got nice things like you can take a photo. So
now you're running Windows 8.
This is 8.1.
8.1.
It's running in the Windows 10 phone emulator. But yeah, you can go off. We can take a picture. Here we are. We're actually going to take ourselves a picture.
Oh, that's a selfie.
Yeah, that's right. So this is a picture of our version of macaroons. So yeah, we're clearly, and then
delicious.
It's also got share contracts built into this as well. So it's a rich app.
Very
so we can actually share this with OneNote, and there we go. Yeah, absolutely nailed that one. So great effort. Yep. So yeah.
Nice.
So that's sharing with QuickNotes, and back from that, and we're back into the app, and then we quit. So that's the app. That's the one we're going to convert. So the first thing to do is open up a go up to Windows Explorer, open up a command prompt.
Okay.
And then I'm going to execute this upgrade utility, so which I've stuck in a folder, C project upgrade utility. I'm going to run the bat file. This executes the PowerShell script. That's it. It's upgraded the project file and the manifest.
No long dialogue.
No, that's right. No, it's nice and short. And now, immediately, Visual Studio's picked up, and hey, we're already...
Wow.
...already a universal app platform. This is how you could edit it if you need to do any more stuff. You can just unload it and then edit right from Visual Studio.
But you're just showing us.
You don't have to do it. I'm just showing you some of the stuff that our script changed. So just so you know what it's done. Let's see if they can
reload it. Is it okay for them to go in and monkey with the script and make it for their own?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Probably we should put it on GitHub, to be honest, and have people collaborate and improve it. This is the manifest. This is all the stuff that we changed in here. Script did all of this. Did all of this for you, so all of that was done for you. For this app, it's completely automated. Now, we're compiling it. First problem. What's this? Hardware buttons does not exist in the current... The type of namespace for the name, backpressed...
Hardware button for
what's
the
going
phone.
On here? So this is phone-specific hardware buttons. So obviously this is an example. We've now gone UAP.
Your script doesn't fix the hardware button?
No, it doesn't. So what we need to do is add reference to... Here's our extension SDK. For Windows Mobile Extension SDK, which has got the APIs in it that understands, immediately we've lost our red squiggles, we can build. Right, we've got one more problem. Okay, this is one of the things that our tool didn't do for you. So now we've got an app manifest validation error. So it doesn't like how pictures library is. So this is because we're going off and getting pictures.
Oh, yeah, sure, it's a capability.
So this is one of these examples of where you're actually going to have to go in and edit something else. Now, actually, I probably could have put this in the script, to be honest, because it would have been easy enough to find. But leave you some work.
It's educational.
It's educational, yeah.
This is great.
So here we go. So hopefully now, actually, we've got build succeeded. So we've got a clean build. Oh. Will it run?
Ship it. Don't run it.
No, well, we ought to try and run it. Let's run it once. Here we go. Run it on the desktop. It's...
Nice windowed experience there.
Whoa. We got a type load exception. Okay. Now, this seems to be where we've broken it by adding that phone hardware support.
You're trying to use the phone hardware button.
On a desktop.
Which doesn't have it.
So we need to fix this. So... But before I do, I want to talk about that and some of the other issues. So we'll come back to this in just a moment, and then we'll fix it and take it the next few steps.
Well, let's switch back to slides then and talk about the additional steps that we need to start thinking about.
Yeah. So these are the steps in outline that you are going to need to think about. And obviously, every application needs to have different kind of things. So here we go. Additional conversion steps. First of all, you need to add reference to the platform extension SDKs. We did that.
Yeah, like mobile or desktop.
Yeah. Then we also need to, there's another step to that. We need to look at hashif and convert to adaptive code where appropriate. So if there's any poundif code in there in your existing application code that was kind of expecting to be run on either Windows Phone or on desktop, you need to look at that and remember this. We now need to change this thing called adaptive code.
We don't want to use poundifs because that implies multiple binaries. We want
to bring it
together.
There's a couple of deprecated APIs, not many. Mm-hmm. We'll see an example of that in a moment. You need to look at your XAML styles, particularly if you come from a phone app, you use one of the phone templates to create your new project in 8.1. There's some styles in there that were phone only, so we need to converge on the converged UAP set of styles that built into Visual Studio. You also need to look at the charms bar. So remember the charms bar for desktop Windows, where you have
swipe
from the right, and search was on there. App settings was on there. So
and swipe from the right in Windows 10 doesn't bring up the charms. There's no charms bar.
There is no charms bar in Windows 10. So basically, you need to add UI into your app to so you don't need to change any of the code that kind of worked with apps, with your app settings or your sharing through that expected the chance bar to be there. But you just need to put some UI on your app to enable to the user to get to those experiences. Mm-hmm. And finally, last but not least, you need to look at the UI that you've converted and make sure you do a little bit of work to make sure it looks great on all the device families where you want this thing to
After
run.
All, your phone app is now running on the desktop. Yep. So we need to make sure it looks awesome in all yep. the locations.
So a bit more detail on each of those. This is where you need to add ref for your platform extension SDKs if you need to. I've already did that in the demo.
Xbox might show up there.
That's right, yeah. So in the tech bits we've got, just the desktop and the mobile are on there, but although others will appear on there as well. And just to reiterate this point, adding these device family extension SDKs, if we add the Xbox SDK when it turns up,
yeah,
it's not going to break. It doesn't mean your app won't run anymore on the other platforms.
Right.
So that's totally, make sure you don't make that mistake. What about these, pound if. So this is the typical example, and actually the kind of one we've been grappling with for this sample. So this is a lot of the code you kind of see in 8.1 apps, particularly universal ones where you've got shared code. If it's a Windows Phone app, then you will need to hook up an event handler for hardware buttons backpressed. If it's not a Windows Phone app, then we're kind of expecting that it might be used with keyboard and mouse, so there's some code that applies to that scenario. So that's kind of where we were with 8.1. It was one or the other. In fact, in...
This confirms that there has to be two binaries, because in one case it will build to the if, in the other case it will build to the else.
Yeah, and the point about the pound if, of course, is these are compiler conditional. So at compile time, we're only including some code.
Yeah.
So the compiled output will only have one or other of these. Now, our compiled output in a Windows 10 UAP app needs to have both of these cases in it, and it needs to be switched at runtime. Mm. So that the phone hardware button stuff is active on when it's running on a phone app, and your mouse and keyboard stuff is active when it's running on a desktop PC tablet stuff.
So show us what that syntax would look like then, if it's not a pound if.
No, this is the kind of runtime equivalent of that. It's an API called windows.foundation.metadata.apiinformation. And it has a whole bunch of methods on it, but for our case, the first one I want to look at here is type present. So you can look and say, okay, and is type present means that at runtime, is this API not only, you know, is it present and implemented? Is it actionable? So if it is, that's kind of a longhand way of saying, yeah, I'm running on a phone. Yeah?
This is brilliant because it gives me one binary, and I can have all the logic. And look, we're not hiding the logic. We're just making sure we're not calling it if it's not supported. So I can interact with the hardware button of a phone if it's running on an IoT device that doesn't have anything like that.
Exactly.
That's nice.
Yeah, it is nice, yeah. And the bottom example there has scanner API. This is a kind of different one of the other APIs in API information is an API contract present. So this is kind of saying, okay, has this device got a scanner? And is it version 3 of that?
So this isn't which device am I running on. This is how much of capability does this one device have, and I can add more functionality to my app.
So it's very flexible. I mean, the bottom one, you won't be doing very much there as a developer, but the top one...
Unless you're writing a scanning app.
Unless you're writing a scanning app. But there's a lot of stuff you can do at runtime, making decisions about what code should be active at which particular times. Well, we're talking about these little edge cases. Don't think that, this is, it sounds like it's going to be really complicated. It's just about making your app shine on particular devices. So when it's running on a phone, you can handle that hardware back.
Now, some APIs are going to be deprecated. So let's take a look and see how we handle some of those different pieces. We know there are going to be some changes.
There's only a few, to be honest, though, Jerry. It's good news. I mean, we really are. They took the 8.1 WinRT API set and they moved it up to UAP, and then they added loads of great new stuff as well. But the one change that you will find if you're a Windows Phone 8.1 app developer, WinRT app developer, you will have used the and continue APIs,
which
it's
rough API.
Fair to say has not met.
Rough API.
It did not meet with wholehearted enthusiasm from our developer community.
So. Very smart, the API is, for low-end devices.
Yeah, so if these were brought in, there's a whole set of these and continue APIs, which were all about making sure stuff worked really well on our low-memory, cheap phone devices.
The happy takeaway is they're gone.
And they're happy, yeah. So they managed to engineer this problem away. So even on our low memory devices, we can use, so pick single file and continue has gone. And instead, we've now got pick single file async, which is exactly the same.
Applause.
Absolutely. It's the same across all of it. It's the Windows desktop model. Yeah, it's, yeah.
So that's on the C# API side. We also know there are going to be some changes on the styles inside XAML. There are going to be some subtle changes.
Yeah, you'll see some problems like this, particularly if you've, like I said, if you created an app using the Windows Phone templates, you'll see things like phone accent brush, and there's a few list view item. There's a few styles that that it won't understand because they were specific to phone on 8.1. So you just need to go through and replace all them with the standard, the common ones, or create your own styles.
You can create your own style if it's really important to you.
Absolutely.
Sure, you can.
Yeah.
It'd be an interesting shim, actually.
Indeed. Yeah, well, yes, and that probably will happen, I would
say. So with charms gone, there's going to be some things we need to do.
Yeah, the charms bar, we mentioned this, is not on Windows 10 devices, so some of your code, if you're porting up from 8.1, might have expected it.
A Windows 8 app runs on Windows 10, and if it relies on charms, there is a charms solution, but that's no longer a forward-looking solution.
That's right.
Just to make sure that those Windows 8 apps still work great.
Yeah, so that's right. If you run a Windows 8.1, an app without doing all this upgrade stuff, and you just run that on a Windows 10 device, it will run just great. And in the title bar, you get a little drop-down menu where you see the charms options come drop down from there. So yeah, so it's they will work. But in order to get a really top quality experience, you want to convert to a true Windows 10 app.
Basically, move it onto the canvas.
Yeah, exactly. Put a settings button on your menu somewhere, on your UI, and share buttons on your UI, which if you're a phone developer, you've been doing already anyway.
So. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so we've gone through all the code, but there is a design consideration.
Yeah, and this is depends where you come from and how much work you need to do here. But you'll need to look at the UI that you've ported up, and then you will need to do some work to, if you've got a phone app, you would only have a UI that was designed for the phone, and then you'll need to expand that out and take that to the bigger screen devices and make sure that you've got a great experience regardless of the device you're running on.
The great news is all of this work, we've already been trained thanks to the web, right? The web has already brought us up to speed about responsive design. Now it's just a matter of implementing that inside XAML, and we'll find a lot of controls and a lot of tooling to help us do that.
Indeed.
So why target UAP?
Well, this is the big win here. You can extend your app to multiple device families very easily by targeting the UAP. So you're getting to a great place for moving your app. I mean, you may have a great phone app, but hey, wouldn't it be awesome if that was running on tablets and PCs as well?
Right. We're not telling you that it has to run on a PC. If you want it only to run on the phone, then let it run on the phone. But now you've got options. And we don't target Windows anymore. We're targeting the UAP, so we have
All kinds of devices are running UAP, so you've got potentially a huge user audience to go out there. Yeah.
Okay, so that was half of the story when we went through that demo.
Yep. All right, so let's pick it up again.
Okay.
And then let's kind of finish the job.
All right.
So here we are. We were at this type load exception because we're running on desktop and it didn't know how to handle this backpress. So now we need to add this API information.
Ah, this metadata, what we talked about.
Yeah, it's Windows dot, that's right, foundation. Yeah, dot metadata dot API information is type present.
I see.
And that takes a string, which is the name of, well, it's actually the hardware buttons API, which is windows.phone.ui.
I see. So this is just a literal of the namespace. So you're asking, is this namespace present?
Yep. Is this action? So that is only going to be true on a phone device. So now we can run this on desktop. Hey, look at this. So we've got a phone app running on the desktop. Oh, okay.
So close, Andy.
So close, yeah. This is these styles things we were talking about. Oh, phone accent brushes, because this was a phone app. So we need to go in and change that. So let's just stop. And this is going to search our application for phone accent brush. So this is a brush that paints with the user's selected accent color. It's a lot of matches, but actually we're only interested in the top four there. The other one, I don't quite know why it's turning up. It's some weird thing about where the tools were at the moment.
Oh, I see.
So here we go, phone accent brush. Let's change this. A good substitute for that is the system color control accent brush, which kind of means the same thing.
Flows off the tongue.
Well, maybe not, but yeah. and we got another couple of instances of that there as well, which is there, and again there. The designer's having a bit of a fit here with this. Yeah, it's
This is a Windows 10 preview session, so yeah. Just a so FYI.
Just remind you of that.
Visual yes, Studio
not everything is clean, and yeah. And the other view, I mean, I already know as well, I didn't bother running it to show you, but these list view items subheader, these are phone only, so I'm just going to change these for now to just a body, sure. Which is a standard one. And we can tweak these later, change the styling a little bit, but hopefully this will be enough to get us running.
Yeah.
So here we are, back in the desktop app, and life is good.
Oh,
and
no
we've got a here's a
look, in. Look
pivot
at that.
Pivot controls on both, and animations work, and now we can go off. Look, it's all working. Now that's pretty impressive. Do you not think? I think it's impressive. So let's run it on the phone as well, just to show that it still runs on there. And
that
here
would
we are.
Be sad, yeah. If it didn't.
If it didn't, that would be disappointing. Yeah, but here we go.
Nice.
So, yeah, and
just like we would expect.
Slightly new styling, interesting. We got some work to do to change, you know, this, it, the light, and we can go and take a picture. We can go and take a picture. We can go and, no, it doesn't want to take a picture.
We'll fix this.
What's going on? What's going on? Yeah, there's something wrong with taking a picture. So let's go and have a look at that. Why did that code not execute?
Yeah, well, you kept clicking it.
I did. Why did that not work? I'm in the wrong, where am I? Oh, this is the share contract stuff. That all, let's go. But down here somewhere, here we go. Here's the button photo click. Oh, this is the dratted hash ifs things, because this file was designed, this code has been designed to run on, you know, in a unit, in a shared project.
Right.
So we assume, we're running on, I don't know which one. Let's try the phone one first. So let's just take all these pound ifs out. Comment out the Windows desktop version for now, and then look at this. Pick single file to continue is obsolete. It will be unavailable. Instead, use pick single file async. So this is what we were talking about. It means we have now converged on the true Windows desktop model, which is the one that, as it should be, pick single file async.
I see. It's an await.
Yes, yeah. I need to fix that in a minute. We can just get rid of that. We change that to an await async method. And we can also remove a lot of the other stuff that was lying around just to support that kind of clunky and continue phone thing. So that was property was to do with the reactivation when we come back.
Code is getting so much.
So it's getting cleaner, yeah. And also on the activation, because when it came back from picking your photo, we had all this only on phone. So that can all go as well. So we got a nice.
This is terrific.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Right. Are we done? Are we done? Let's see. Let's see if we are end to end done.
Right?
Yeah. So
that made sense, by the way, because it was not being included in the build. Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of styling work to do, but now we can take ourselves a picture. There
Look.
We go. Let's select that. Yeah. And there it is. And sharing still works, I would guess.
Nice.
So, nice. Yeah.
Straight into OneNote. You're ready to go. Nailed it again.
Nailed it on Windows 10. Yeah. Here we go.
Terrific.
Yeah. So that's nice. That's a proper little app. It's, you know.
Yeah, that's realistic.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So there you go. So that's, let's run it on the desktop just to make sure that we really haven't broken anything. But yeah, it's a bit of repainting. That's the tools in a minute. And yeah, we can do all that kind of stuff on there as well. And it's all working. I won't bother taking that any further, but. You know, it's so there we go. Now you want to just tweak your UI a little bit, make sure it runs across different kinds of devices. But yeah, we're all good.
Well, that's a heck of a demo, I must say. Everything perfect. The all right, let's just kind of talk about what's going on and what's happening there. So, what about the Windows 8.1 Universal app? There's some things.
Yeah.
Every developer needs to kind of think through.
Okay, so yeah, so that was a single head. We took a phone app, and the process for doing a Windows 8.1 single-headed app would be pretty good as well. So when you want to migrate a 8.1 Universal apps, the kind of process at the moment, and like I said, this is preview bit, so the kind of process at the moment is you basically need to choose one of your heads, whether it's the phone one or the desktop head, to be the source, the project that you migrate. And you temporarily put the other one to one side.
Yeah.
You then go through the process that we basically did, just showed you with a single head project, and upgrade it, and you end up with a UAP project, but it's based on one of your 8.1 heads.
Yeah.
But the process will be no more complicated than I showed you, you know, with that example we just went through. Now, in an 8.1 Universal app, you will have this shared project, most likely. They will have a shared project where all the code sits that actually is compiled into both your phone 8.1 package or your desktop package. Now, what do you want to do with that shared folder? Well, actually, you
option
could just
one, you could keep it.
Just keep it. It's just a tool. A shared project is just a tool for a way of storing stuff in a project that can be easily shared with other projects. That's all it is. There's nothing magic about it. So you could just keep it. Or you could take everything that's in that shared project and drag it and drop it into the head, and you've got a nice, clean single project and no shared project involved. But quite a lot of the time, you're going to want to you might want to support your 8.1 app alongside your
right.
Your
you still are going to have users
so
running
then,
Windows 8.
So good way of doing
Windows
that is, yeah, keep your shared code in that and actually use poundIF to separate your 8.1 code from your Windows underscore UAP code. So. Yeah. Can get kind of messy and complicated. So, you know, your mileage will vary, and it's up to you how you want to do that. But there's no kind of one right or wrong way with that.
Merging the UI is going to be a little tricky because you're going to have XAML in two places, and you're going to need to pick one. I mean, you can't just merge two files. You're going to need to pick one and then bring the UI of the other into the one you pick.
Yeah, but there's a lot of tools coming to actually separate your views into target-specific areas. So we should be able to take the one head that you kind of temporarily push to one side. You could drag those in and pop them into, say, you know, a desktop folder, and they'll be used on desktop devices. And,
especially if you're using great design practices. Because if you are, then you know that everything's already abstracted between the two and they aren't unique. If you have a lot of code, you might still need to do some sort of customization to make sure that that code that you've done in both places can work in one spot. But basically, you're talking about one code behind file, multiple views, XAML view files, so a XAML file, two XAML files, three XAML files, however many different distinct families you want to support.
Exactly, yes, yeah. So that was about the shared project. It can get complicated, but you can use the poundIF to separate out your 8.1 if you want to keep that. So let's have a very, very quick look at a kind of an example of the sort of thing that might happen.
With a multiple head project.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to start by creating myself a new project. I'm going to use a Windows 8.1 Universal App Hub App template. So this creates us a solution with a Windows, Big Windows, and a Windows Phone project in it. And a shared project. So run it first on the PC, so we can see what it does. And it's just a lot of grey squares. So we've got the hero pane there, and then you've got all the content scrolling across to the right. And you can click on an item, navigate back, and that's kind of how it works. We can also run it on the phone. So change startup project. Run it on the emulator, and obviously same. Same logic, same data, and the UI has been optimized for the phone here. You can navigate back, and you can click on a group and navigate back. So that's kind of how it works. Right, now let's look at moving this project up onto UAP. So let's start by adding a new project to my solution. I'm actually going to add a blank Windows 10 app. Let's call it hubapp.uap. And that's going to add that to solution, because what I'm going to do is share the code between the 8.1 and the new UAP head. So we've now got three head projects in here. Main page, I don't want that because the hub page is the start page for this. I'm going to add a reference to the shared project, which is all of the shared logic, all the logic that already exists for the 8.1 solution. Let's just see how if that actually builds straight off. Okay, so got a couple of problems. Principal one being that we've got two app.xamls in this at the moment, because there's one in the shared project. You can see it there, and there's also one in the new thing. So I'm going to actually move the app.xaml and reposition it up into each head. So we've got a unique one for each of the heads now. So that removed that from the shared project. So now each of my heads have got their own app.xaml. So there's the other stuff that's in the shared project still, though, some assets, some common files, and the data. So now then, let's build again and see where we are. Okay, so my startup job, app.xaml.cs, is looking for main page, but actually the pages I want to use, I'm going to start by copying in from the Windows Phone 8.1 project all the pages. Copy them from there, and I'm going to paste them into the UAP project. So make copies of them. And then I can go in, having done that. Yep, still got to fix that main page thing. So let's go up into app.xaml, into my startup, my launch logic. Scroll down, and then we'll find, here we are. This is where it's going for main page. So I'm going to change that now to be hub page. So that launches directly into, just got to fix up the reference to that, using hub app 1. And now we can, good, that's resolved now. And now we can run that on the phone emulator, see how we get on. Try and build it. Got no compilation error, so all that shared code is just great. And then I'm going to run it on the emulator. Let's see how we get on. And we've got an exception. Let's have a look at what that exception is. This is a XAML unhandled exception. So this one is because it cannot find a list view item text box style resource. What is that? Well, in the Windows Phone 8.1 project templates, it used a lot of styles. So I've actually created myself a style dictionary, which redefines all those missing styles, but uses UAP equivalents for them. So this is that style dictionary. So you can see there's where the styles are defined. So they can now be used directly. It means I can use them directly in those pages in my UAP project. So I just need to merge that dictionary in, which I do like this, resource dictionary. And inside that, I need to merge dictionaries, and then we add in the one I've just added, which is a resource dictionary, source equals, and then the name of it, which is phone 8.1 migration styles.xaml. Now with that in, now that those pages, we should be able to pick up the styles that it were missing from the generic.xaml that's provided for UAP. And yeah, straight away, okay, there's a bit of a styling. I need to fix those styles up a little bit, a bit big on that one, but we've got a working app straight up. Oh, apart from the fact, you saw I hit back there, and it went straight back and exited the app, so my back key handling's not working. What's that all about? Well, that is because the back key handling, in this particular app anyway, is all handled up in this file, Navigation Helper, which is one of the common files you often get in 8.1 projects. And this is where the back key handling is there. And you can see there's a hash if Windows Phone app, so it's only being included for a Windows Phone app. So clearly, it's not being included for our UAP project. So what do we do here? Well, one thing we could do is have a sort of a three-way hash if at this point. So top one is if Windows Phone app. This bit is if we're a Windows app, because that's keyboard and mouse navigation. And then also, let's switch that to, you see Windows Phone gets that. Windows UAP has nothing at the moment, so we need to include the appropriate code for our UAP app. So we put another hash elif there, but this one is Windows underscore UAP, which is the compiler conditional that's defined for a UAP app in the project properties. So now we can start putting in effectively the equivalent of what we've got above, but what's using the metadata API information API to find out at runtime whether we're running on a phone or not. So that needs the type in there, which we'll just copy and paste from there, which is the windows.phone.ui.input.hardware buttons. And if that is true at runtime, then we want to hook up a event handler for hardware buttons back pressed. And hash elf, no, I'm at the wrong place. And if we're not running on a phone, then basically we want to do the other one, which was all of the stuff that only applied to a Windows app. So It's kind of doing the same thing, but at runtime. Now, this is not resolved. Why is that not resolved? That hardware buttons is in the mobile extension SDK. So we need to add a reference for that. Go to extensions. Here's Windows Mobile Extension SDK. So that's now been added. So in a second, that should... There we go. It's resolved. Still need to sort out that event handler. Similarly here in this bit of code down here, we do exactly the same thing. If Windows app, do that. And hash LF Windows UAP. Then we need to do the same old thing. So if Windows dot foundation dot metadata dot API information is type present, and again, obviously, it's that Windows Phone UI input hardware buttons type we're interested in using. If that's present, then we unhook the backpressed event handler. Otherwise, we do the other stuff. So we're running on desktop and PC. Fine, now we need to resolve this hardware buttons event handler, which at the moment is excluded here because it's hashif Windows Phone app. So this now actually, we can include this both if it's a phone app or it's a UAP app. So we can just include this because it won't cause anything to a UAP app running on desktop. It won't, the fact that this is here won't break it. So that's that one. And then all this stuff looks to be the PC desktop code. So let's just change that. Well, hash end if that first one. And then change this to be hash if Windows app. Or again, UAP. So actually, you just want to include all of this stuff if we're in UAP, because both cases will be applied. That only these event handlers will only be called at runtime anyway, so that's fine. And that's all good. So now we should find that our back key handling on the phone project will work just great. Apart from I got an error, let's try again. Right, deploy succeeded this time. Yep, and there we go. And we can click on an item, go back, and this time it goes back properly. So we're all good. Everything's good. Still need to fix the styling up a little bit on that page. So let's try this on the desktop, see whether it runs on there. So here we go, we're trying to run. Okay, so the UI shows, but and we've got items, but there's no back navigation. And clearly that's not a great success. So to get that to a point where we can do something, I'm going to create a new folder, device family dash desktop. There we go. And then I'm going to put into there views that will be used only for PC, laptop, desktop. So let's go into get a copy from the 8.1 Windows app. Let's go and get the XAML views, but not the code behind, just the XAML views. I'm going to copy them. And I'm going to place them into this folder. So let's add those in. I'll go and get the right folder. Here we go. Paste. Add them. So it's just the XAML pages, not the code behind. It's going to share the code behind, use the same code behind file that's used for the phone, the main views, which are the ones that are for the phone. Let's try that now. No, we've got an exception because there's an event handler. Hub section header click is missing. So we've got to merge together the old code behinds effectively. So let's go off and find that that event handler. Here it is, hub section header click. So we can copy that. And I'm just going to paste that into the code behind, the merged code behind, if you like, that we've already got, which was copied from the phone originally. So let's go and pop that in. And that should be good. Now, also, while we're here, we might just check because also in load state, this is the logic that loaded in state from data for the phone head. What about the one for the desktop? Let's go and check that. It is ever so slightly different. It's getting a particular group for the desktop app. So let's just copy those couple of lines as well and merge them into our combined, our merged code behind. There we go. Now, hopefully with this, we should have a bit more joy. Let's run this on the desktop. Well, okay, it runs. That's pretty good. Sharp-eyed amongst you will notice, well, okay, there's some layout problems. So some of these styles are too big. And actually, everything is a little bit too big. So there is a bit more work. So there's no such thing as a free lunch with this stuff. You have to go in and work on your layout to make it. It's not going to be a simple copy and paste from 8.1 through to 10. So we need to make a few little changes. Just to give you an idea, I'm not going to go and do all of it now, but just give you an idea of some of the stuff we could do. Change the font size of some of these text blocks so they're a bit smaller. So let's put that one in here. And actually, as well as this, ignore the blue squiggles, that's just a designer glitch. So that makes that a little bit, maybe 24. And actually, what I should do with this really is go through and all the sizes, all the discrete sizes on there, like that opening grey square on the left, the pane, the size of that. Anyway, our text size is pretty good. But all of that stuff there is, and that's all working. All the effective pixel pitch is actually 4/5 the size in UAP. That it was on 8.1 for Windows desktop only. This is a side effect. Let's just change that to get our layout of the grid view a bit better. Make max width of that 600. And okay, we've now got a single column, which wasn't quite what I had in mind. So let's just change that again to something a bit bigger, maybe 900. And hopefully that will now look about right. So there we go. Now I've got two columns there. So you can play around with the layout. So the effective pixel pitch has changed. So you have to go through and modify all of your margins and positioning by 4/5 in order to get back to what you had on 8.1. But like I said, you're going to have to work on your design. It's not just as copy and paste. You can get something that basically works and then use that as your starting point, but you've got a little bit more work to do. Okay, that's that.
Okay, so there we go. So you saw a very quick look about how that
impressive demo, Andy.
Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah?
Thank you. So let's just review what we saw there in this session. We looked at where your starting point might be in migrating an existing app onto 10. We then actually went through looking at our little upgrade utility that helps to do the conversion of your project file and your app manifest. And then we ran through those additional migration steps that you need to think about. And then finally, we just looked at the migrating 8.1 universal apps.
It's not always a green field where developers are starting from. Sometimes they do have investments they don't want to just throw away. We don't want them to either. We respect the investment that they've already made. And here are some paths, depending on which direction you've gone, to build your store application. It's a pretty great and comprehensive story. And you can come on to Windows 10 and start targeting UAP. And we can allow Windows as a service to constantly be upgrading. But we've targeted UAP. That remains constant for us.
Indeed. And once you're on UAP, you can have access to loads of great new features that have been built into the new platform, which are going to be covered in some of the other modules. So please keep watching and come and find out about some of the great new stuff you're going to be able to do with your Windows 10 UAP apps.